I developed Dr. Ian's Fit Kit. These are things that you could take on the road with you.
All right, Dr. Ian Smith's book is called Fast Burn.
Dr. Ian Smith, thank you. Love the name of the book.
You've seen him on TV trying to get us all healthy, and his books, they've even helped me.
You look great.
I'm trying. I got your books. He writes because he wants to inspire.
Challenge yourself to be a little better each day.
I can't necessarily teach you motivation, but I can inspire you. Motivation is something that has to be organic, has to come from within.
And he's got multiple things that motivate him, like also writing mystery thriller novels.
Why can't you have multiple passions that are in total different spheres, that bring you joy in different ways?
The doctor is in. Dr. Ian Smith, today.
On The Pulse.
Guys, welcome to another episode of The Pulse. I explain it every week, but I don't know why, because by now you know the drill. Interesting people, doing cool things, telling good stories, coming in and spending time with us. And somebody, I feel old saying this. Somebody I remember going back, 15, 20 years when I was doing radio.
Yeah,
and you were trying to help the whole world lose weight.
Yeah.
Dr. Ian K. Smith in the building. How are you, sir?
Good to see you, man. You look great.
I'm trying. I got your books.
Yeah, I'm running out of books.
Nah, that's impossible. How many is it now?
Well, Eagle Rock, the new novel, is my 26th book.
Okay, so then what? 16 were kind of health
and
wellness.
So I've had 6 novels. This is the 6th novel. This is the 4th in my Ashcan Detective series. So now I'm doing a novel once a year and a health book once a year. So I alternate.
So you're writing 2 books a year.
2 books, yeah.
That's
for
a lot.
A little while. Is it a lot? I'm not really sure. I think it depends on the writer. I like to write. I love it. It's not like I feel it's not work for me. I have more ideas than I can ever write. So I don't feel like I can write enough because there's so many ideas that are just on the shelf that I can't get to.
So you want to do more?
Oh, if I could do more, I would do. If I could have another me to be able to pump some of the stuff out, I would do it. I don't know. I'm a creative person. I'm always thinking creatively.
So that's where we're supposed to. The book, and we'll get into the details of the book, but that's when we officially product placement. Book available, okay. All places where books are sold. Make sure you make this one another New York Times bestseller.
Yeah.
We're going to walk through that. For people who don't know, and I feel like you've been at this for a minute, how did you get down this path? I mean, you went to pretty much every prestigious school in existence and kind of went down that journey.
You know, I think that a lot of my career has been by accident to some degree, some intention, but a lot by accident. You know, I should be in the OR doing orthopedic surgery, seeing patients 3 days a week, and my life is everything but that. I always wanted to be a physician and wanted to be a surgeon in particular. I wanted to be a neurosurgeon, actually, until I actually saw the lifestyle of a neurosurgeon was not very good. But then I jumped to orthopedics. But I think that I'm just a guy who follows my passion. I had a very myopic, narrow-focused view of what I wanted to do in life. I always wanted to be a doctor. I always wanted to be a neurosurgeon. And every other possibility or opportunity, I ignored. And then something happened to me in medical school that changed it. I realized that the neurosurgeons who I, you know, idolized for so long growing up were very unhappy people. And they led very lonely lives. And I said to myself, like, while I love the idea of, you know, being a brain surgeon, is this the life that I really want to lead?
Yeah.
And it was a really tough moment for me because my whole life I wanted to do this thing. And then I started having my first doubts about, is this the right thing for me? Because I felt like lifestyle was also going to be important for me. And so I stopped, which was very hard. Like I said, no neurosurgery. I'm going to do orthopedic surgery, which is the bones and muscles part of surgery. I'm going to do that. Those guys were fun. They were ex-jocks, a lot of them, right? So I chose a lifestyle specialty. But even then, and I was happy doing that, I also always had an interest in news. I always wanted to see how is news made, period. I was a news junkie. And so one thing led to the next. And in the middle of my 4th year of medical school, I started an internship at the local NBC station in Chicago.
Okay.
And then my life just went in all kinds of directions from there to doing TV in New York for NBC and the Today Show, writing a column for Time Magazine, for New York Daily News. I just started doing all these things that interested me, but still doing medicine. And then the writing and journalism kind of took over my life.
But you were, and I think a lot of people, I mean, people know this now because they know you now, but you're a real doctor. You know? Yeah. And no disrespect, my girlfriend is doctor, but she's doctor through education and what have you.
Which is very good, by the way.
PhDs are respect.
Very respectable. Yeah,
but I mean, you were a practicing medical doctor. And then kind of transitioned into same concept, right? You still just wanted to help people, just found a different journey to do it.
So when I was doing my training in New York as a medical resident, I finished my training. While I was doing it, I was actually on TV also for NBC. And what I realized was I had this moment where I was driving from 30 Rock in Manhattan up to the Bronx. And when I would go early in the morning, do my TV show, then I would drive up to the Bronx and go in the hospital and be, you know, a resident, a training resident. But I stopped at the toll booth to pay the toll. And the lady in the toll booth not only recognized me, but she asked me a medical question that she had seen a report I had done on TV. And she's like, oh my goodness, it's you. And she asked me this question. And what I realized was that being on TV gave me so many more patients, gave me a much bigger reach. And while I didn't have the intimate hand-to-hand kind of relationship, I could get good medical suggestions, advice, information to the masses that otherwise would not have reached them in a way that they could digest it.
My father, back in radio, and you've met my father before when I was in radio, he had this concept with Dr. Walter Lomax, who owned the station at the time, is that you can't individually touch, help, heal every person, but you can give every person a voice, some sort of access. And that kind of sounds like I can reach out, get to many more people through this journey. And people kept asking you, right? So let me go ahead and write a book.
Yeah, I mean, I miss the patient interaction. What I don't miss are the politics of the hospital, the bureaucracy, the insurance issues, where insurance companies are pretty much making decisions for doctors based on economic models and not based on human models. So I don't miss any of that. So what I've been able to do is I've been able to carve out a career where I can still help you. A guy in the gym yesterday morning stopped me, just found out that he was pre-diabetic. So he curbsided me. What should I do? Okay, I got a book called Blast the Sugar Out, which is exactly built for you. So my career has allowed me to help people in different ways. Once again, not taking away from practicing physicians, but there's a seat at the table for all of us to try to attack this huge issue we have in America, which is a health crisis.
It sounds like you were always this ambitious, but were you, right? Because the thing that I remember, and I think I took on the 50 million pound challenge back in the day, and this fat shred and making the smoothies and the health, you know, and it was always, to my memory, but were you always that person who's like, 50 million pounds, like, let's try to help that many people?
I think that when you grew up in the time that I grew up in, as a poor kid from a blue-collar family with no dad, and you have dreams of kind of transcending where you are, I think you're very ambitious, just kind of naturally. I didn't see it as ambition. I saw it as, this is what I need to do to make it. This is what I need to do to help my mother and my family. And so it was just natural for me. Now, as you get older, and you're able to meet other people and you have a comparative reference point, you're like, oh, I guess I was ambitious. But to me, it was normal. And maybe it was good I didn't recognize it. Because sometimes when you normalize something that is unique or excellent, if you just normalize it, then you don't think about it and you just do it almost like a reflex. So for me, you know, having the bigness of thought and dreams was just the way of life.
I feel like in some part, that's why I love this show. Like, we're normalizing sitting down and talking to people like you and hearing their stories from successes to challenges. And then people see it and they're like, huh, I can do that too. You know, you see a 50 million pound challenge, like, I can lose some weight, you know, and go out there and do that, because you see people kind of going through that process. Pattern good behavior.
Sure. I've always said I can't necessarily teach you motivation, but I can inspire you.
Okay.
Right? Motivation is something that has to be organic, has to come from within. You have to decide what motivates you to do something. I can't determine that, but I can inspire you. And I think a lot of my life, I've been inspired by different things in different spheres of my life. And so I think people should find inspiration. And if I could be the inspiration for one person and that person can inspire someone else, it has this ripple effect. So I often try to conduct myself when I'm on these platforms to think that there's someone out there on the other side of the camera or the other side of the radio who is having a problem, who has questioned, has self-doubts, who's kind of like in the transition. What can I say or do that could give that person an aha moment that I can do it too? And I think that that's kind of what guides me.
With that still guiding you, mm-hmm. right? What guides this? This is, and it's inspiring, it's fun, and it's all of those things, but it's a hard turn from what you're doing every day, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's a very hard turn. But see, I think that people should not subscribe to the idea that you can be circumscribed or pigeonholed into something. Life is short. We have one life here, earthly life, right? Biologically speaking. And so I think that people should squeeze the most they can out of life. And to me, that means following your passion. And it's not a binary situation where it's either this or that. Why can't you have multiple passions that are in total different spheres that bring you joy in different ways? So fiction, crime fiction, detective mysteries has always been a passion of mine since I was a little kid. Loved to read, you know, series as a kid, little novels about solving crimes or solving mysteries. And so it was just a natural for me. Now, that side of me never was public facing because I was a physician. I wrote Health and Wellness, 50 Million Pound Challenge, Makeover Mile. Those things have always been my public image. But at home, people knew that I was a voracious reader of fiction and a writer for myself. I started writing when I was in college, hoping one day I could publish a novel. So this is natural for me, but for my audience and my fans, this is something different. But I'll tell you, I really decided I wanted to write after reading one of Grisham's books early on before he became a best-selling author. And the reason why I was inspired was because the feeling that I had reading that book was so cathartic. I was angry, I was happy, I was nervous. I had all these feelings. I was like, wow. And when I finished it, I was like, wow. Imagine to be able to write a book that can elicit that many feelings in one person and give a person that kind of experience. And I said, one day I want to write a book or books that can do that to people. And so Eagle Rock is the fourth installment of my Ash Kane detective series. And I write, I'm a selfish writer. I write like I read. Fast pace, action right from the beginning, mysterious, you gotta think, and keep you guessing to the end. Lots of plot twists and turns. And so to me, it's just kind of a natural progression of something that I like to do.
It is for me, because I can't do it. So I haven't done it.
I was gonna say, I don't know if you can't do it, but you just haven't done it.
I haven't done it. But it's always interesting to me how people like you can like come up with one. Okay, I'll sit down and write a book. I've got an idea. You now have a series, and that's outside of the others that are not part of the Ash Kane series. Where does that come from, and trying to do one a year?
Well, first of all, I like writing. I love the process of writing. I like idea generation and then taking those ideas and then putting them into the computer on the page. I just like that process. Number two, I'm a great typist. I'm a very fast typist.
There's my problem.
I mean, one of the classes that we as jocks in high school resented the most was everyone had to take a typing class. And we're like, we're sports guys. Why are we taking typing? However, because I was a sports guy and because I was very ambitious and competitive, even though I didn't want the class, I wanted to be the best in the class. Right. So I wanted my words a minute, to be the highest of everybody in the class. So I really worked hard to become a great typist. And that actually paid off huge dividends for me. In college, I was typing papers. You know, I could wait. It's not good to procrastinate, but, you know, for most students, they had to be careful because they had needed time to type it. It took a while. For me, you know, I could type out my papers, you know, last minute, not a problem. But now my career of writing, I can type very fast. I can write a lot of pages in a day, which helps. It allows me to write more, write faster. And my process is different than most writers.
So for people who, now we're, you know, we're four books in this mm-hmm. series, but for people who know you as Dr. Ian, health czar, guru, doctor, tell us about Eagle Rock. Tell us about this series. Why should we be reading this also?
Yeah, first of all, I created this character, Ash Kane, because I wanted to create a character I've never seen in books or on TV screens. I like detectives. I wanted a detective. I wanted him to be a new age detective, not like the old curmudgeonly, cigar-chomping kind of detective like Columbo or James Rockford from the Rockford Files I grew up on. I'm dating myself. But I wanted a guy who was younger, who was more hip. He can quote Shakespeare. He can quote Kendrick Lamar. I wanted a guy that was very comfortable no matter where he was in the city of Chicago. So whether he's in the affluent north side or the gritty west side, Ash Kane always is Ash Kane. He's fearless, he's smart, he's handsome, and he's a guy who has a bone to pick. He will not stop until justice is done, even if it means that his own life is in peril. And that's who Ash Kane is. He was a former Chicago police detective who left because he wouldn't participate in the cover-up of a shooting of an unarmed teenager. So he leaves the department, gets a settlement, so he's financially independent, hangs up his own shingle to do private cases, and so he only takes on cases that interest him, not for the money, but something in the case has to interest him. And of course, he's a degenerate golfer, and so most of his life is trying to get to the golf course, but these cases just get in the way all the time.
So that sounds like a full-on movie or series or something pitch. When is this coming out? Who do we got to call to get the TV series or the movie series?
A producer has purchased the rights to make it into a TV series. By the way, every book, the four books in the series now, each book is a standalone.
Okay.
So you can start with Eagle Rock, and many have already, and then work your way back to the other books. So you don't have to do them in order, but each book would be an episode. A season of a show. I write in a very visual way. I don't do outlines. I write my book in my head for 2 or 3 months, and I see it visually. And then once I see the characters, hear the characters, once I have that, and then I have a beginning, a middle, and an end. When I have those data points, then I start to write. But for 2 months, I'm in my head just seeing this reel over and over again, adding this, taking this away. And so for me, the writing process, when I'm at my computer, is much easier because I know where I want to go. And I also don't have an outline. To me, a lot of authors need outlines or like outlines. To me, outlines are restrictive because that means now I'm writing to the outline versus allowing my creative, freedom to go wherever it needs to go based on what's happening. Because I may have wanted the character to go left in the beginning, but now that I'm writing it, this character should go right. And if I'm writing strictly to an outline, I kind of lose that kind of creative freedom.
You tiptoed right past the fact. So you got Tyler Perry money.
No.
Somebody just bought the book and the series. It's like coming soon to a theater near you. You just kind of put that. I mean, they've all been produced. So let's keep it moving. It is in the works.
It's in the works. And by the way, it's a very difficult process. When someone buys your book, your option, they own the material, basically.
Okay.
So you don't have a lot of creative control over the broadcast situation. A lot of authors struggle with that because what you wrote in the book, like, for example, Lee Child, who's one of my favorite authors, who now has handed off Jack Reacher's his character, who's now handed it off to his brother. But, Tom Cruise, for example, played Jack Reacher in the movie. Impossible. He is nothing like what Jack Reacher is. And those of us who love the series went nuts about it. Like, how could you cast? I like Tom Cruise, by the way. I know.
Right.
I like Tom Cruise. I grew up with Tom Cruise. I like him. But he's not Jack Reacher. But Lee Child has no say. And Lee wasn't happy either, by the way. But he had no say in who the studio chose to play Jack Reacher. So when you sell your literary rights, your creation to a studio, you have to understand that you have lost creative control. You have to accept that. And by the way, J.D. Salinger of Catcher in the Rye would never accept that. And what people don't realize is he said you can never make a production of any of his stories. You've never seen a Catcher in the Rye movie, have you?
Yeah.
Never.
So just didn't want it reflecting on them if it wasn't their vision.
He didn't want anyone to take his creation and bastardize it and change it and all these kind of things. And now that I'm older, I'm in the game, I respect why he made that decision. It was his story. He wanted to keep it that way, and he didn't want anyone to meddle with it. No matter how much money Hollywood threw at him, he said no.
So I'm curious, with all of that, and when we were talking about you coming in, because as I pointed out, I've known you for a minute, but largely from the health capacity and those books, has this been the success of Ash Kane and the success of the series? Is that a challenge or a blessing? And I say that because so many people know you one way. And when it's like, Dr. Ian's new book is coming out, and it's the action and the private investigator, and it is, are people going, as we did, cool, we like Dr. Ian, let's bring him in. Or are they going, wait, what?
Well, they start with, wait, what?
Okay.
And they're shocked. But people say, like you said, they say, oh, well, we like him. He's a good guest. Let's check it out. So, you know, all I ask, and other people who are doing different, I'm not the only one doing, by the way, things,
right,
you know, that are don't seem to go to get to go together. But all we ask is you give us a shot to be able to show the other side and to allow us to express a different part of who we are, whether it's creatively or intellectually. And I think people that are multifaceted, like myself, who have a lot of interest, would ask that you allow us to go in these different places and come with us. You know, some people are okay with just hitting one note. It's okay, by the way. Everyone has a choice in life. Me, I'm just a multi-note kind of guy. Like, I like a lot of different things. I don't always talk about all the things that I like, but I like a lot of different things. And so I'm getting of an age where, you know, I better, like, do some more of this other stuff. You know, I need to do it, and I'm going to do it. And I'm at a stage in my career where I can afford to do it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need people to buy Eagle Rock and Ashcan novels in order to feed my family. It's nice if they do. I want people to buy Eagle Rock because they're interested in a good story. I'm a story guy, and I want people to like my series because they like the character, they like the writing. Like, that is when people send me message on Instagram and say, "Hey, I just finished. Wow, what a ride." That to me is like gold.
That makes it worth it.
And that's gold.
I started laughing and smiling when I was asking you that question because the people in the studio will remember when we had Master P on. So Master P, make him say, like that's what you knew him for. That's what we knew him for. And Master P was in here talking about Snoopaloop cereal and the Master P pancake brand, and he's on shelves and they got ice cream and everything else. And he said that it is only us, meaning largely African-American community, that people seem to have so many challenges with you branching out and exploring these other options. Like, nobody says that, no, and other folks are out there doing it. And it was funny to me because he started that whole, you know, now we got Snoopaloops. And we went, oh.
Well, someone infamously said that a particular basketball player should just dribble the basketball and shut his mouth. I mean, that's just an asinine, horrific thing to say, and it's completely a lack of understanding of humans. Mm-hmm. I mean, just because, you know, you're a lawyer doesn't mean that you don't watch love stories, right? Like, you just don't do stuff that's legal. Just because you're a teacher doesn't mean that you don't like, you know, to watch fitness competitions. I mean,
right. So
I saw Master P in L.A. I didn't meet him. I saw him at a graduation in L.A. a few months ago. But and he's one of those guys where, you know, he's pursuing different passions and different businesses. And why not? Why do you have to only do one thing? Mm-hmm. And that's what, you know, my attraction to writing and putting my novels out is because I like it. And I read this and I like to write it and share it.
TV, books, best-selling author. What else?
Father.
Father, got the movie series coming out.
Yeah.
Husband, living your best life.
Yeah.
I shudder to ask what's next. Like, you got a lot on your plate.
Yeah, you know, I want to get more into TV production. I have a lot of ideas that I'm floating around with some production partners. I like to do some stuff. Everyone wants me in front of the camera. I want to do some stuff behind the camera. I want to get more stories out there. My next health book is already written. It comes out in January, called Eat Your Age. So I'll be out about that.
So that means I'm going to be having like a Dixie cup of lemonade cream chip beef. Is that, I eat dinner at 4:30.
No. Eat your age means what are the 10 best nutrients for your decade of life that you're in? Because as our bodies change as we age, the foods we need are different. The tests that we should take are different. The numbers we need to know are different. All these things are different. And a 30-day meal plan that's customized to your 30s or your 40s or your 50s or 60s. So that book is about, how do you feel younger, feel happier? How do you live longer? And the idea is you need to fuel your body in a different way. You need to exercise. The exercise you do in your 30s are not necessarily the exercises that are best for you in your 50s. And so how do you make that adaptation? So this book in January will be that. And then the next, then following that, I've already written the fifth installment of the Ash Kane series. That's already in the...
Of course you have.
Well, in the pandemic, I wrote a lot, okay, right? So I got a backlog, but I try to stay ahead. So I just keep writing and keep living. I mean, I just keep going for it. I'm always dreaming, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, I'm learning how to cut my own videos now.
Okay, just embracing it all.
Well, on this little app, I just got tired of like trying to find someone to take the video, to edit it, to send it to me. It just became a process. And so finally, this young person just said to me, why don't you try this app? So I have this app now, and I just create my own little promotional videos. It's fantastic. I track it, and I cut it, and I'm on the plane doing it. It's wonderful.
I'm that dude. I feel like we're kindred spirits, yeah. But I do that all the time, yeah. Pulling that stuff together.
Yeah, just do it.
We got to get ready to wrap up, get out of here. We end all episodes of The Pulse with the concept of use your voice for good. You have a lot of voices that you're using in a lot of different ways. But when you hear use your voice for good, what does that mean to you?
That means that all of us, regardless of where we are in life or how successful we are, it doesn't matter. We all have a platform. We all have a voice. And you don't have to be a famous person or a moneyed person in order to have some influence. So use your voice to speak up. Use your voice to speak out. Use your voice to support people. There are all kinds of things that every one of us can do to help at least one other person, and to make this place, first our country and then the world, a better place. And I think that more of us need to use our voices a little better. I've become even better at using my voice and speaking up about issues I don't typically touch in the political realm. But I think we have to use our voices more, especially given the condition that we're in right now as a country and as a world.
Doc, we appreciate you. Hey, get your book.
Yeah.
Our product placement.
Yeah.
This book is out now. The whole series is available. Make sure you pick it up. Also, the next one's coming out, the That's Eat right. Your Age.
That's right.
Work Out Your
and
Age.
And by the way, and people can send me a message on Instagram, at Dr. Ian Smith. Spell the doctor out.
You active?
I-A-N Smith. I'm very active.
Are you?
And I'll have a boot camp in January, so you want to join my free boot camp. Send me a DM on Instagram.
Always something going on.
Always.
Listen, I pulled a hamstring learning how to do double dutch. That's what I said. The whole
That's
concept of live my age, eat your age. That started to sink in.
That's not the exercise for your decade, by the way.
Clearly. Like, I'm trying to find out new plans. Walking around, people are like, what happened? A pit bull came after me. Can't be a grown man. Like, I'm walking around limping for 2 weeks because of double dutch.
Double dutch.
Yeah, that doesn't
That's
work.
That's a good story to it, though.
Yeah, well, now, you know, I'm not limping around
That's right.
anymore.
That's right.
We appreciate you. Thanks
That's
for
right.
your time, man.
I appreciate you.
Guys, thanks so much for listening to the Pulse with Bill Anderson podcast. Today with somebody who I've known, honestly, for years, going back to my radio days when he was helping people with the 50 million pound weight loss challenge. I may have contributed 10 or 12 of those pounds to Dr. Ian K. Smith's journey. I appreciate catching up with him, all the things that he's doing. He is a best-selling author, health guru, and all those good things, and a pretty cool series of books that you should absolutely check out. And if you wait long enough, they might actually be movies. I hope you enjoyed it. Do me a favor, hit like, subscribe, follow, whatever it is that shows up on your screen so that you get a notification every week when another episode of The Pulse comes out. You can hit me up on social media at BillAFox29. I am always eager to hear from you. And as a matter of fact, if you want to use your voice for good, that's the best way to do it. Tell me what's going on, what's on your mind, express yourself, suggestions, whatever. Love to hear from you again at BillAFox29 and download the Fox Local app so you can see all of our episodes right there at your fingertips. Hope you enjoyed, and I leave you today as I always do, reminding you whenever you can, use your voice for good and have a good one.